Welcome to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. I'm Ludmila, founder and CEO of Rampic, a B2B digital marketing agency. We help tech founders get the most of their marketing effort and promote their stories to our audience. We believe that every tech founder has a unique story and their business needs attention. Stick around till the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can become our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Hello and welcome to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast, the space where tech and non-tech founders and leaders share their unconventional stories and vision. Today I'm here with Colin Hirdman, co-founder at Cloudburst. Colin, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Ludmila. Really appreciate it.
Colin, what to get things started, what brought you to tech space? Your education background looks very interesting and not that typical for a software company founder.
Yeah. So very much I fell into entrepreneurship pretty much by luck and chance. And that was a week after graduating from college, I started my first company. So I graduated with a criminal justice degree and I never took a business class, finance class, marketing class, and really just learned it all trial by fire and have been an entrepreneur my entire life.
Wow, that's awesome. And currently, like Cloudburst is aimed at helping non-technical founders, which is very interesting. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah. So that kind of gets back into kind of the history of me being an entrepreneur. You know, that first company that I had that for about 11 years. And that was a marketing communications company, which I sold in 2006. And then in 2007, I started Monkey Island Ventures with Josh and Zach, two of my childhood best friends. So we've all known each other since we were about 5 years old. And Monkey Island is named after a park that we played at when we were kids, located here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area in Minnesota. So in 2007, we started building some SaaS products, but Josh, Zach, and I are all non-technical. So we always hired out the development, and we've used offshore, nearshore, local development talent to help us build our products over the years. And had some, ups and downs with the different products that we built. You know, one of them took us about a month to build. It was built on top of Twitter, and we signed up 30,000 users in 2 days, and we were a trending topic on Twitter. This was the early days of Twitter, but we were localizing Twitter users around zip codes so they could meet each other, and then city and state. And really took off. And another product we built on top of Twitter, which was growing a Twitter audience for like a local retail shop, like coffee shops, local retail and whatnot. That product really took off as well. And we were able to monetize it nicely. But we ended up having to kill the product because Twitter changed their terms of use. And, our business was wholly dependent on Twitter. So right there, it's a good example of being wary of how you build product and what you're building on top of. And then, so then about 10 years ago, started to do digital marketing on the side, and we created a digital marketing company that we have called Agurian. And then 5 years ago, we started Burst, which does software development for non-technical entrepreneurs. And so Josh, Zach, and I, again, as being non-technical, we built Cloudburst to be the software development company we always wished we had. And so it's been a wonderful experience building, a company that is servicing entrepreneurs and helping them grow their businesses by utilizing software. So that's kind of where we're at now. And so we still love building our own products and we're still doing that. But yeah, we have kind of a nice mix of service companies and kind of tech-enabled SaaS kind of underneath that umbrella for Monkey Island.
Wow, that's an awesome story, and thanks for sharing. That's very impressive how you build like business upon other business and another business, but still you have like the very robust and very like healthy looking ecosystem around you. That's incredible. Tell us more about how like Cloudburst works and what's behind it, because when you're working with the non-technical audience, you must have some sort of like a different framework rather than when in overall relationship building could be very different, including the financials. So how do you operate under like the Cloudburst model?
That's a great question. And I think that's something that every business needs to think about is differentiation and you know who your ideal client profile is and how are you building your business around kind of your ideal audience and customer profiles. So for us with Cloudburst, we want to work with other entrepreneurs. Typically, the entrepreneurs are established, they have an existing business, and they see some pain points where they think if they had software, they could address those pain points within their own business or within their industry. Certainly, we work with some startup founders as well, where they don't have an existing business and they want to build something that new. So we kind of work within those two camps. What our clients really come to us for is, you know, nowadays, it's just so much easier to build software. One of the things that we say is there's never been a better time to build software, but it's also never been easier to overbuild software or build the wrong thing. And so one of the things that we talk about with, you know, with our clients is, you know, nowadays you really can get all three legs of the stool. So, you know, for, you know, most of history, you can have, you know, low cost, you know, quality and speed, but you usually only get two out of the three. But nowadays with software development, you really can get all three. You can get low cost with the advent of utilizing teams around the world and with AI. You can get speed by just, again, having good developers and having, you know, AI kind of leveraged as technology and tools. And then three, you can get, you know, high speed by, you know, leveraging these teams. So cost, quality, speed, you get all three kind of components of the kind of proverbial stool. So the other thing that really I think makes Cloudburst unique is we like working kind of in that guide or that mentor role where we're really working with a prospect or a client and helping them keep the vision for their product very narrow and focusing just on, okay, what kind of pain are you trying to solve? Let's focus on that first. We kind of talk about these kind of five stages for how an entrepreneur can scale their company through software. So stage one, have a vision for what you want to build. Stage two, ensure that you create an MVP, a minimum viable product, a small version of what you want to build that you can give to your internal team and or customers and start getting feedback. Stage three is if you're getting good feedback and your internal team and customers are using the product, now you should be able to go out into the market and start talking with prospects and saying, look, these are the services we provide. We also have this proprietary software product that does this, and it differentiates us from all of our competitors. If you can show that you're starting to close more business because you have a unique piece of software that is helping your business scale, then you get to stage four, which is if you're demonstrating, you know, growth of your business because you're utilizing the software product, now you're probably going to get a multiple on the value of your business. Investors, if you're looking for investors, or acquirers, buyers that might want to come and buy your business. Again, if you're showing that your business is scaling with this proprietary software product, you're going to get a higher multiple for the value of your business. So that's kind of a stage that a lot of entrepreneurs might stop at. But there is a stage five, which is if you've addressed that pain within your company and with your customers by developing the software product, it's highly likely that your industry, meaning your competition, is probably suffering from those same pains and could utilize your software. So stage five is really launching your software as a SaaS product into your industry or your market. And of course, with SaaS, it's a wonderful business model because you're scaling on technology, you're not scaling on people. And it really puts you in a whole new stratosphere of growth, scalability, and profitability. So that's what I would say kind of Cloudburst is really honed in at, is working with entrepreneurs, being that guide or that mentor and helping them understand the right way to build software and then helping them build it.
Wow, that's incredible. And I like how structured the framework is. It makes a ton of business sense, not the technical sense, but the business sense. Yep. And how does your funnel typically look like? Because those stages are like very clear, but usually I assume it takes time to go over like stage over stage. So how do you help facilitate it? What would you do on your end to help more people move faster?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So our process is typically we'll do a discovery call with a prospect and just talk about, you know, what it is that they're trying to build at very high level. And if what they're trying to build seems to mesh well with the way that we do our work, if that call goes good, then we go into what's called a Clarity Canvas, which is a free 1.5 hour workshop where we actually talk through the software idea with the entrepreneur and help them leave that session feeling very confident about, you know, what are the obstacles, what are the opportunities, what are the next steps. And then if they choose to work with us to develop the product, we'll, you know, many times go into what's called a phase zero, where we're starting to put, you know, some life behind their idea with UI and UX, starting to create like a clickable prototype and start going down the path of taking their vision and beginning to make it a reality. If out of that phase zero, everyone likes the direction it's going, then we'll go into building the MVP, which is kind of the initial version of the product. But again, really helping them keep that very lean, very focused, and then getting that deployed out to the people that need to be involved in those feedback loops to start vetting the software product.
Wow, that's very, like, I would say sophisticated on one hand, but on the other hand, that's very simple. So again, that's the very straightforward path to follow. And by the way, Colin Herdman, please find Colin on LinkedIn. Great content on his profile. And also cloudburststudio.com is the website. And I'm looking at it right now. It has all the details. It's very transparent in how Colin and his team communicate about what they do and what problems they solve, and especially how they do it. So please follow Colin on LinkedIn, visit cloudburststudio.com for more details about everything that we've discussed so far. And I also noticed a very interesting thing on your website about the financials, like the financial part of your model, because it is a common perception that building software is expensive and you need quite a bit of funding to actually do at least the MVP. And I see that you have a really good solution to that part of the puzzle. So can you please talk more about the financial side of things?
Yeah. So I can go back and tell a story. So when we built SMB Tweet, the developer we worked with said, "Hey, guys, you're in bootstrap mode. My normal rate is $100 an hour, but I'll build your MVP for $50 an hour. And then once your MVP starts to generate revenue, I want to get paid about at $150 an hour on all the hours that I put into the project." And we said, "Okay, that sounds like a good idea." So he got paid $50 an hour to build our MVP. And then when we started to generate revenue, 10% of our revenue went back to him. And he got an additional income stream coming in at $150 an hour on all the hours that he put in. And he didn't have to put in any more time. And then for us, we got our MVP built and we didn't have to give up any equity. And so we've kind of taken that model where we've created what's called a shared success agreement. And we've even created a site called sharedsuccessagreement.org. And anyone can go there and they can create these agreements. They're very founder friendly. It's an alternative to debt or equity or crowdfunding. And really what it allows the founder to do is get in more partnership with their service providers. So the service providers could be providing software development or marketing or legal or finance or whatever. But really what it is, you know, the software provider is kind of discounting their services for a share of future revenue. And that's really as simple as it is. And so when you go to sharedsuccessagreement.org, there's a calculator on there. Very simple. There's only like 5 fields, I think, that the founder or the service provider can play around with. And it's really allows founders and service providers to really partner up in meaningful ways that allow them to build together. And so when you get done using the calculator, you submit, and then a Word document gets sent to you with all kind of the legal structure in there and everything. And then you can just play around with it and get it finalized. But it's wonderful. There, you don't have to, with equity, you got to worry about cap tables and valuations and all of these complex things. So a shared success agreement is perfect for kind of those initial engagements that you want to do. And one final thing I'll say about it is you can also raise money, get money through shared success agreements. So you can have people give you money through a shared success agreement, and it's not debt and it's not equity. So it's a wonderful alternative for getting money into a company too through a shared success agreement. And you can use the calculator to do that as well.
Wow, that's a really great alternative to the funding options that the typical founder can have. And especially, I think non-tech founders can benefit a lot out of it because this minimizes the risks and it opens up the partnership opportunities. And but how about like equity and the percentage? Is there like an option to set a cap or like a multiple on what was invested by, let's say, a developer? So Is there like a limit for that?
That's exactly how the calculator works. So you're essentially saying, what's the total project fee that I'm charging? What percentage of that is shared success? And what percentage is my normal that, you know, pay that I'm going to get? And then you put in, you know, what percentage of the revenue is going to get sent to me each month off of what the company generates. And then you also put of what's shared success, you know, if you have $10,000 is what you're putting toward shared success, then you apply a multiple to that that's going to get paid back to you. So is the multiple 2, 3, 5, you know, what's that multiple? And then finally you can kind of play around with like, well, over what period of time do I think I'll get fully paid back? Is it 3 years? Is it 5 years? Whatever that is. But then you'll be able to, on the right-hand side of this calculator, you'll be able to see, you know, what the value is of all the shared success money that is owed to you. You'll be able to see, you know, how much money the company needs to generate before you're fully paid out. And then finally, you'll be able to see what your return is by, you know, doing a shared success agreement, you know, with the entrepreneur or the founder. So yeah, it's a great, very simple model.
That's awesome. Colin, thank you so much for sharing all those details. And I love how that concept can actually be helpful for all of the parties, for the developers, for any provider that you need for your business or for your like software. That's really awesome. And I'm pretty sure that you've helped a lot of people and a lot of businesses already. What's your favorite success story?
So let me just say one quick thing too. Cloudburst, we don't make any money on shared success. So there's nothing hidden there. It's just something that we think the world needs more of. So anyway, just want to clarify that. So sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Yeah, my question was that I'm pretty sure that you've helped so many people already. What's your favorite success story? Can you share any like example or again, your favorite, not the case study, but probably like the story that you think could be very relevant and very distinctly associated with what you do?
Yeah. So a favorite success story and how we helped a client out. Yeah. Yeah. So I think probably, you know, one of our clients is in the healthcare space and we started working with this client before the pandemic and we really helped them grow their business in terms of what their model was like in-home healthcare. So for helping people that, you know, would have problems getting out of the home or helping people get service within their home, that was kind of a relatively new model. And so we built their software and really helped them begin to scale their business up to the point, you know, they were able to self-fund at the beginning and then they were able to do multiple rounds of investment. And they actually grew so big that we helped them transition our team off to their own internal team. And so they were able to kind of take over the management of the product, you know, from us. So I would say that was just a wonderful success story in helping, you know, a company go from really the beginning all the way into, you know, multiple millions of revenue a year and helping them get even larger than that once we transitioned their software to their internal team.
That's incredible. Colin, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing all the story behind the Cloudburst. And that's incredible how Shared Success Agreement Initiative is working for people and for all of the parties that take part in the entrepreneurial success. So that's Colin Hirdman, co-founder at Cloudburst. Feel free to connect with Colin on LinkedIn or visit cloudburststudio.com for all the for more details. Colin, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest. Great conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Ludmila here. Thanks so much for listening to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. If you are a B2B tech founder who would like to be on the show, visit podcast.rampic.agency. If you've got something from this interview that you would like to share, please go ahead and post the link to this episode on social media. Just grab a link, send it to a friend. If you know someone who will be a great guest on the show, tag them in your post to let them know about the show and include our podcast name, which is B2B Tech Founders Lounge, in your post. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are adding new episodes frequently, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast. This means a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Visit us at Rampic Agency website or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.